God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, the big book, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially let go of all my old ideas so I can experience your truth. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay. On Wednesday night, if you can join us, we are looking at the steps to changes 6 and 7. If you've been, bring your hand out. If you forget, copy some more. It's been great stuff. We're looking at steps 6 and 7 to drop the rock. And if you can join us on Wednesday night, if not, they'll be on the site. You can listen.
Time.
Saturday mornings at 9:15, we're on working with others. And if you can join us, we read powerful pages yesterday. So tonight we are on We Agnostics, which I thought of a new title for it. They should change the title. I'm going to call New York to Old Ideas Availed Us Nothing. Because this is all about our old ideas, especially about God, and people who said they didn't have old ideas about God, they wouldn't have been here if they were living God-centered lives. And so agnostic means those without knowledge of God. Knowledge in AA is faith and trust, not belief. It's different. We start with belief. We have to start somewhere. But we end up with faith and trust, and then we can go to God all the time. Right, Jim? And we were talking about that before the meeting. That's what page 84 is all about, step 10. I think we are on page 48. If we're not, that's where we're starting. Every time I read these pages, I get more out of it. Page 48. They're talking about, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. Anybody handicapped by that? Now, that's when we came in, but we can be handicapped by that today. Right? We can be unreasoningly prejudiced about things. We can be too sensitive, and we can be stubborn. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. I think that's an intense emotion. Bristle with antagonism. Now, here's a suggestion. This sort of thinking has to be abandoned. We have to abandon our unreasonable prejudice, our stubbornness, and our sensitiveness if we're going to be open-minded and willing and honest to work the steps and have a relationship with God. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. You know why? Because we were faced with alcoholic destruction. Now, if you're not faced with alcoholic destruction, then you haven't hit bottom. Now, to be faced with alcoholic destruction means you have to be aware of it. Now, a lot of people are faced with alcoholic destruction, but they're not aware of it. Now, the people around them are aware of it, but they're not aware of it. But once you're faced with it and you can see the truth, which is hitting bottom, you can't deny the truth anymore about your situation. Remember, they talk on page 25, when we could see the hopelessness and futility of life as we were living it, then we only had one choice, to pick up the kit of spiritual tools, remember? And it says you're going to either die an alcoholic death or live a spiritual life. These aren't easy alternatives to face. You can't see them. But once you see that you only have two alternatives, that makes you open-minded. Now, when people tell me they don't want to hear about God and this and that, they're not destroyed yet. They haven't faced alcoholic destruction. They think there's a third door. But when you're faced with the futility of life and your destruction as a human being and you can't fix it, you're open-minded. It says that's how you get open-minded on spiritual matters, when you can see the truth. And once you get open-minded on spiritual matters, the Spirit starts working in your life. The Spirit can't work in your life if you're closed to the Spirit. Everybody chanted, God can and will if he were sought. We have to seek him, and to seek him, we have to see that we're going to be facing destruction without him. The reader may still ask, why should believe in a power greater than himself? We think there are good reasons. They talk about the practical individual today as a stickler for facts and results. It's true today. This is written before computers, before texting, before iPhones. They didn't even have phones in their houses. This was poor. People were poor in 1938. They didn't have TV. They had radio. We have numerous theories about electricity. Anybody here believe in electricity? All right, we'll all explain it after the meeting, right? I told him to turn the heat down. I think it may have gone too low, but I knew if he pushed the button, it would work, right? But I don't know how it worked. Anybody like the internet? You send a text. How the heck does a text get from your phone to somebody in California? Through the air. I mean, who can believe it? But we do it, right? We never question that. But we question, can God relieve us of the fatal obsession? We question whether there's a power greater than us that can restore society. We question our decision all the time. It says everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions for which there is no good evidence. There's good evidence, but no perfect visual proof. And that may be the problem with the steps. We say, work these steps, and your life will change. Well, they say, how does that happen? It's just like sending a text. You send the text, and it gets there. You work the steps, and you have a change. Now, we do have perfect visual proof that the steps work. I'm looking at two of them right here. I'm looking at one right here. I'm looking at one right here. See, we are the visual proof to the new person. They don't have to like us or anything, but we are proof that we had a hopeless condition of mind and body and something's happened to us. And so that's why it's so important that we share our experience, strength, and hope with the new person. Now, this book is true proof because we couldn't see these people, right? But this is what they wrote, and this is what they did. And I know that this is true because I read about Bill W. on November 10th. He was hiding gin all over the house and counting the bottles. And November 11th at 11:30, Ebbie Thatcher rang the door, and his life changed. And within a month, he was going to go out and save alcoholics. Now, if that isn't proof of change, I don't know what is. And I talked about yesterday, you know, the greatest, Joe and Charlie mentioned Paul on the Damascus Road with Saul, and he was going to kill people. And in the Damascus Road, something happened. He changed his whole life. Something happened to that man. Something happened to Bill W. And you don't have to like me or anything, but something happened to me. And I was dying years ago. And I can't, all I can tell you is, I don't know how it works, but when you do it, tell us what happens to you. And that's the power of AA. So he talks about you have a steel girder and you have all these electrons in it. It says, we have no reason to doubt that. But when we describe that underneath the material world and life as we see it, there's an all-powerful guiding creative intelligence, right there, a perverse streak comes to the surface, and we convince ourselves it isn't so. Now, a lot of people believe in God and pray, and they're still active alcoholics because they believe in God and pray, and then they finish their prayer, and then they run the world. So they don't really believe what they're praying and saying, because if they did, they would act differently. So they run the show, where they ask for God's help in running the show. And so it says, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostic and atheists chose to believe that my human intelligence was the last word. Mm. Now, if you ever work with a new person, you'll see it. They're fighting you. They're arguing with you. They're defending their thoughts and their feelings. And there's an excuse for everything. And they just don't want to give in to the idea that they're not the end all and the be all. You know why? Because then you have to be accountable. The last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all, rather vain of us, wasn't it? See, I had myself as the center of the world and the creator and in charge. Now, I may not have consciously said that, but I lived that way. Why? Because I was psychotic. I had a delusion. I lived under this delusion that I could wrest satisfaction, happiness out of life if I managed well. It was insane, wasn't it? But that's all I knew. I didn't know any different. So I did the best I could, but I had the wrong manager. Me. I had to fire myself. So it says, we who have traveled this dubious path, dubious means it's one that's not really a good path, beg you, they're begging us to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. Now, I think we need to read this line at some meetings, because I know there's some people that get upset when some people mention their idea of God. Well, it's okay. It's their idea of God, and they're not trying to tell you your idea. There's nothing wrong with organized religion. It says we have to lay aside prejudice against it. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths be, see, the religion's not bad, it's the human frailties, and because we're all human, these faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creed were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. It's a long line. I'm tired of reading it, but it's powerful. We're cynically dissectors. We cynically dissect not only organized religion, but we dissect everybody. That's what we are. We're dissectors. We analyze everybody. Anybody else do that before they came in here? Anybody still do it a little bit? Yeah. Come on, be honest. Yeah. And so we're dissectors. We're cynical dissectors. And there are people like that who come to AA, they don't make it because they haven't faced alcoholic destruction. When somebody's faced alcoholic destruction, they're willing to do anything, and they don't argue anymore. And now I demonstrated unhappiness, unstableness, and uselessness. That's what I demonstrated in my life before I came in here. Anybody else? And so that's when I did it. And I demonstrated that. I was judging the people who had faith. Mm-hmm. How ridiculous was that? But I think a lot of us did it. So what we should have sought ourselves. So what do we seek now? You guys said it. We seek God. God can and will if he were sought. Why? Because he's all powerful. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people. Anybody do that? And sometimes use their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. And I wrote often of them and then of ourselves in the end. But we would look at other people and their shortcomings, and people will come to AA and they'll say, look at this guy, he's a mess. This can't possibly work. You know, well, they're not seeing the whole deal. And so, I don't know, I've done that. I did that my whole life. I don't want to do that. And remember we said we're all spiritually ill. Mm-hmm. And also, we could be seeing them wrong. It says we looked at their human defects and their shortcomings, but I could be wrong about it. Jim and I were talking with Josiah before the meeting that when we see people's human defects and shortcomings, they look pretty bad. But if we see them as children of God and we see them through love, they get better. I know at home, she could look really bad. And then I change the way I see her and say the prayers, and she looks better within 30 seconds. And it helps me. It doesn't change her. She's already the way she is. We are who we are. But we have to remember that. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We dismissed the reality and beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. And I think what they're talking about here is people come to AA and they say, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. And they have a million excuses because they see shortcomings, they see defects, they're intolerant, and they don't see the reality and beauty of the forest. And so if you come here looking with a negative mind, you're going to see negative things. And if you come here with a positive mind, you're going to see positive things. And so that's true of our whole day. Remember, the only thing lacking in every situation is the love I don't bring into it. And so if I bring love in every situation, I'm going to get it back. If I bring dissecting and condemnation, I get it back. In our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. Whether we agree with a particular approach or conception seems to make little difference. Experience has taught us that these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. And what you're saying here is, you don't worry about what somebody else is calling God as long as it makes sense to them. You don't worry about their approach. It's none of your business. You're just supposed to be guides down the pathway. But here's one thing that everyone can agree on. One proposition, one question, however these men are strikingly agreed. This is powerful. Every one of them who wrote this book and people in this room has gained access to and believes in a power greater than himself. Now, I believed in the power greater than myself, but I didn't have access to the power greater than myself. That's a new word. They added it last night when I opened my book today. Gained access to and believe in. I believed in, but I didn't have access to. Why? Because I blocked the access. And then, when I wanted to unblock it, I didn't know how to do it. And the steps and the people in this room have told me how to access God. And that's the central fact of our life, remember? That we have a relationship with our Creator, which has done things for us we could not do for ourselves. This power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. So let's look at the record. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. Now, I don't know, in the original big book, I guess they said thousands, but there were only 80 or 90 people sober. But now we could say million or 2 million people. They flatly declare. So can you declare this? One, since I have come to believe in a power greater than myself, I have come to believe. Two, take a certain attitude towards that power. The attitude is that God is God, and I'm not God, and I shouldn't play God anymore, right? And God's my employer, and I work for Him. And to do certain things, the steps, I've had a revolutionary change in my way of living and thinking. Is that true for you? Mm-hmm. If it's not, get together with someone, go through this book, and it'll be true for you. This is a guarantee. In the face of collapse and despair, anybody face that? Anybody facing it today? In the face of total failure of their human resources, so we face collapse and despair, I face total failure, I found something. Guess what I found in AA? A new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction. Who wouldn't want that? This is powerful stuff, this chapter. It's full of promises. Mm-hmm. And it's full of suggestions, so it's good to read it in the first person. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Remember what the Dr. Silkworth says, the psychic change occurs after we have a few simple requirements, the steps. So what's certain attitude, do certain things, is what they talk about. Dr. Young told Roland Hazard, alcoholics recover when they have what? A revolutionary change in their attitude and outlook on life, the way we see things. Now, I have a revolutionary change because I know when I'm disturbed or judging, I'm wrong. I know when I'm afraid, I'm wrong. I'm playing God. I don't need to be afraid, and I don't need to be angry or judgmental anymore. I don't have to do that. I have a power that will take that away and help me see it differently. Once confused and baffled, anybody confused or baffled today? By the seeming futility of existence, that's where we say life was unmanageable, right? They show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. Isn't that what the fourth and fifth steps all about? We see why life was such heavy going. And what was the underlying reason that it was a heavy going? Because I was separated by God and running my life. I was self-will run riot. And what was running my life? My character defects. Leaving aside the drink question, because after we drink, things go bad, right? They tell why living was so unsatisfactory. A lot of people think if you come here and they don't drink, their lives are going to be great. Right? What we find out is that sober is when we really have problems because we don't have a solution for how we feel. We can't drink anymore. And we don't feel good sober because we're still running the show. And we still have our character defects. And we're still self-centered. And then things don't get better. And then we blame AA or the sponsor or the steps or somebody. But really, it's just we haven't defeated our self-centeredness yet through working the steps, through our relationship with God. They show how the change came over them. When hundreds of people are able to say, the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their life. Can you say that today? What is the most important fact of your life? I hear a lot of people complaining about the facts in their lives. Well, they're complaining because they're not conscious of the presence of God today in their life, that they have a power to live and a power that will solve all their problems spiritually, that will give them everything you need spiritually to handle whatever's happening. You can handle calamity with serenity. It says that in the big book. It's been true for me. They present a powerful reason why one should have faith. So really, this whole chapter is about how we, as people who have worked the steps and are in recovered, have so much power to help the new person. We should be an example of the big book. We should be the messenger. And we have to keep doing it ourselves because we have to do it every day. Because we can fall back into all this unmanageable thinking. That's why you have step 10 all day long. Now this next paragraph is powerful. This world of ours, how many times have I said that? Probably 1,500 times. How many meetings have I done? That was a joke. This world of ours has made more material progress. It's a tough, those listening, this is a tough crew. Has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. And we could say that just in the last 10 years. Look at what's happened to our world. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. They were just as smart as we were. Their IQs were the same. But material progress was painfully slow. Why? Old ideas. Fixed old ideas. So it says, the spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, man's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. They didn't want to see a different route. Now remember, we were the same way. And remember I read that when we surrender, Dr. Shoemaker said that when you truly surrender, then you can begin to see things differently. Till you truly surrender, you won't see things differently. You won't be able to see things differently. Because you're blocked. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. Now, Columbus is an example of everything you need to recover from alcoholism. It's true. And he may have been an alcoholic. Columbus wanted to go west to get east. He didn't want to have to go all the way around Africa and all the way through the Indian Ocean to get to the East Indies. It was a long way. Now, the map said, if you go west, you're going to die. But he believed that he could do that. He wanted to do it, right? And then he believed he could do it. Now, he didn't know he could do it, but he believed. So he made a decision that he was going to do it. So he got the Queen of Spain to give him the money and three ships. So he's got money and three ships, and he's decided to go. But where is he? He's still in Spain. He had to get in the ships, put the supplies in, and then sail west to see if it was true. So to get faith, he needed to take action. So he was willing to change. He believed he could change. He decided to change. And then he put the stuff in the ships, and they sailed west. Now, Joe and Charlie made this point. I don't know if it's true, but it probably is, because Columbus wasn't stupid, that there were three ships, and he was the last ship. And in the first ship, he put these spotters so they could see the end of the world. So he could turn around. You see, he sent the newcomers out. He sent the spot seas out in the first boat. And the old timers stayed in the back because we went a way out. And then they're sailing and they hit land. They didn't know where he was. He didn't know how he got there, but Joe and Charlie make a point, a woman paid for it all. And so he gets to this place. And he knows there's land there. And so he sails back to Spain and he tells them. Now, the next time he sailed west, he didn't have to put the special ship. He could go first. And he didn't have to put the spotter because he had trust and faith. And this is a whole process of recovery. Are you willing to change? Do you believe you changed? Do you decide to change, or are you going to take action to change? And then when you change, you suddenly realize God is doing for you what you got to do for yourself. And you're seeing things differently. Then you have trust in God. You can go to God all day long. And then it says you've entered the world of the Spirit. That's how it is. It's not that complicated. And so I think we'll stop there. That's good stuff. Now, why did they think that the earth was the center of the world? Because they lived there. You see how human beings are? We've always been self-centered. So we believe wherever we were, it had to be the center. Now, the other point is, when they had the earth as the center, nothing worked right. They couldn't explain the universe. So when Galileo explained that the earth goes around the sun, is that right? We go around, good, I'm old. We go around the sun, then things made sense. And so when we're trying to make us the center of the world instead of the earth going around the sun, nothing works for us. And so that's the other thing about this. And it'll never work for me. If I make myself the center of the universe, it's never going to work. If I make God the center of the universe and I go around him, everything will work. So we'll end with that. And join us next week. We're going to read more good stuff. This chapter is full of powerful spiritual principles. Thank you.